My name is Seth Mguni. I'm the coordinator of Ntsu Community Advice Office, situated in Mabopane, about 30 kilometers north of Pretoria, in South Africa. The community that I work in is a combination of townships, informal settlements, and traditional authorities. It's about, I think, 46 villages surrounding the area where I operate. We assist all the people that comes to our office from those villages, informal settlement, tribal authorities, and so on. Our movement of paralegals comes a long way. The records that I've got starts around the 1970s. We have moved a long way from, fighting apartheid structures, issues of forced removal, issues of detention without trial, and that is where paralegalism started. By people who were trying to help, the disadvantaged people. And it started in different, ways. You know, it started, for instance, in churches. It started as an information center during that time. But the aim was to resist the system of apartheid. And in 1994, that changed to say now we need to complement our democracy. And then we moved from there now to say, how do we make justice accessible to the poorest of the poor? At first, I was involved in civic associations. CBOs or pressure groups where you try to address group issues that relates to service delivery, water, electricity issues. After 1994, we were under the impression that everything will be fine. But you still found that there are individual issues that needs to be addressed. Government has created a number of mechanisms, legislation, and legislative frameworks to protect the people. But unfortunately, access is still a problem because most of the services are rendered in towns and not in the rural areas where the poor lives. The big issue here about paralegalism in South Africa is to make justice accessible to the poor. Deal with day-to-day issues that confronts the poor and the marginalized. If I should give an example, that whilst we have all the mechanisms that are put in place by government, you still have a situation where a person goes to court and then we find that the person has gone to the magistrate's court and they get lost in that big building. They still come out of that building not having been assisted. Not because the assistance is not there, but perhaps sometimes because they cannot articulate their problems. They cannot be heard by people that are supposed to assist them. The legislation is there, but the capacity in the courts is not adequate. So then we then decided that we should open an advice office that will deal with individual issues, because that is what our constitution guarantees. It guarantees that it says that every person. So we then thought it was the best time for us to also not look at group issues only, but we should look at individual issues. Insofar as I know, it is only the paralegals that does that now. You have other institutions, public institutions, like the your Legal Resource Center, your Black Sage in South Africa, your Legal Aid South Africa. But the challenge there is that most of them are located in towns, in the cities. And our area of operation mainly is the rural areas, it is the township and the semi-rural areas, and peri-urbans as they are called. The advice office is a first point of contact for people who seek advices on issues relating to law or issues relating to socio-economic and a range of issues, because one problem breeds other problems. For instance, if there is a divorce issues, it have other issues that are related to the divorce, issues of maintenance, issues of custody and so on. So what I'm saying is that it's a range of issues that we are dealing with, legal and non-legal. You go to Mpumalanga in South Africa, the issues there are forced removals from the farms. You go to Pretoria, where I live, issues there are domestic violence and labor-related issues. And each province has got its own dynamics. An advice office is a friendly office that likes to hear what people are saying. We allow everybody to come to our office to ask any question, whether we need to intervene or it's a person that says, I don't understand 1, 2, 3 about the law. What does the law say about 1, 2, 3? And we advise those people. But you also have situation where people say, I've got a problem. Then we do intervention at the level of the advice office. And if we can't resolve that matter, we then refer that matter to other bodies that we work with. I'll give you one example of a program that we ran with one of our partners, a law firm, where we went to a community that in an informal settlement where majority of people there did not have IDs. And I think that was the reason for the establishment of that informal settlement, because those people could not get a place to stay anyway. And our discovery there was that most of these people were from farms, commercial farms around the Free State area. And most of them did not have birth certificate because they were born on the farm, and it was becoming difficult for them, therefore, to apply for identity documents. Because for you to apply for an identity document, you have to produce a birth certificate. Some of the people did not have those things because their parents have died. And our intervention there was really a success, because we managed to alert the authorities that there is this problem, which then led to a situation where Home Affairs, for instance, came up with a program of getting people who can then come and interview these people to find out whether they were really born in South Africa. And that was one of the successes. Other things, of course, is that we also do early interventions, you know, before the problem is there. You know, in South Africa, if you look at the news in South Africa, there's a lot of protests. And those protests don't just happen overnight. People come to the advice office and say, we have got a water problem in this area. So we then, as paralegal office, then alert the authorities that in this village there is this problem. And if it is not addressed in time, it might lead to, it might boil over. You see, those are the kind of things that we think it assists the state. The challenges, of course, are that you know, government officials sometimes are not on board. You know, they don't see what we see. And they sometimes tend to say, no, don't worry about that. We'll deal with that. And sometimes up to a point where, you know, it leads to a serious protest. You know, paralegalism is has got a breed of men and women who are committed, who are passionate, you know, about the plight of the poor. You can think about priests. Priests can work for free sometimes. That is the breed that we have in paralegalism. Although we don't want to rely on that breed, but we are in the process of training new paralegals, you know, to sustain the sector. And how people know is that we talk to people. It's by word of mouth, it's by way of publicizing our work. It is very important for us, for the government to recognize and regulate the sector. We started as an ad hoc organization, but you know, there is a need for this sector to be protected. Because if it is protected, then it will work in, you know, in an environment that is legal. In fact, we in South Africa we are improving, you know, the sector to make sure that it has got good governance, management, and accountability. Paralegals are not confrontational to government, but they are confronting issues that are affecting people. So in fact, we need the support of government for us to do that. I think there is no point where government can say, now we don't have problems anymore, and so paralegals must go. It doesn't happen that, you know, as government, you don't have problems on the ground. So I think paralegals will continue to be there as long as there are people, as long as we live.